I will call the committee back to order. Thank you for your patience. Mr. Matt McDevitt, please proceed with your presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So the RFA was established in 1986 during the farm crisis with the restructured loan program. Shortly thereafter, they added the beginning farmer loan program in 1987. And as you'll kind of see in the list here, we've added another quite a few more loan programs in the meantime between now and then. Some of the more popular ones, disaster loan program in 2007, is a notable one as well. So the purpose of the RFA is to provide affordable financing under terms and conditions not always available from other credit sources. So we're targeting beginning farmers, livestock producers, farmer station, financial adversity. Generally speaking, full-time farmers, meaning the majority of their income comes from farming, and that would refer to gross income. So our goal is help the farmers out. We also help out the local institutions, the local banks, by providing some lower interest rates on these loans. We're sharing the risk with these banks. We're helping them manage their local lending limits. We're easy to use and have a prompt approval process. And we mostly use the local lender's loan documentation. So how are we funded? So there's a few different ways here. So we do the sale of state bonds is the main purpose for that. And our last appropriation was $50 million back in 2020. So the loan programs that are funded with that money is the beginning farmer loan program, seller assisted, ag improvement, livestock expansion, and restructure program. We also occasionally will do a Aggie bond program. And then we have a dedicated revolving loan fund account, which their payments go back and re-lend out. And those programs are disaster loan program, livestock equipment, value added, agroforestry, microloan, farm opportunity, and methane digester. So bonding dollars we have available for loans, we have about $19 million left on the previous authorization of $50 million. Loan requests have increased significantly since about the middle of last summer due to the overall high interest rate environment and the fact that our rates are lower and makes our loans more attractive and helps the farmers' cash flow better. So as of now, we expect to exhaust our funds about...
Madam Chair, we seem to be having some difficulty making it a full screen. It's not responding to...
That's okay. We can still proceed.
Thank you.
Okay. I think you said we expect to exhaust the bonding dollars available by approximately October of 2020 of this year. So, overview of the program. Overall, we've issued 3,810 loans equaling $362 million. We've done a good job mitigating the risk on these loans as we've only taken losses on 21 of the loans, which equates to 0.002% loss rate. Currently, we have 742 active loans with a balance of right about $100 million. So how do we work these bond programs, or all of our programs mostly other than one? We participate with local lenders. So what that means is we take 45% of the overall loan. The local lender does most of the paperwork, and for all intent purposes, the RFA will buy 45% of the loan after the bank closes it. So the borrower then pays the lender, and the lender pays us as far as the monthly or yearly or quarterly payments. We have a five-year prepayment penalty. Let's get into the beginning farmer and seller assisted program. So this is to help beginning entry-level farmers purchase real estate. It can be bare land, farm site, 5 acres with the barn. Net worth at this point is $903,000 index for inflation. Again, we said 45% of the loan for a maximum of $400,000. We do have a max debt per acre of $3,500. We currently carry a 4% interest rate, and it can be a 10-year loan. program can be used more than once by the farmers. We do require enrollment in farm management program if they don't have the requisite education, and we have them obtain life insurance to cover the loan amount. Just a brief example of how this kind of works here. Purchase price $200,000, they'll put $40 down, remaining credit needed $160. We take our $45, and then the lender takes their $55. So as you kind of see there with the different interest rates, if you blend them together, the farmer would be paying, you know, somewhere maybe around, you know, 5.25-ish or so on the loan, rather than if they took it all out with the bank at 6.5. So definitely helps in cash flow. So the FSA and RFA also have a memo, memorandum of understanding. We work together. So when we, when they get in on the loans with the farmers, we, FSA agrees to waive the 1% origination fee, which saves the farmers some pretty good money. They will issue 95% guarantees, which that's also another reason it keeps our loan losses low. And we will do a 20-year balloon on those instead of 10. So again, that helps keep their payment down. So kind of the same situation there, just a little grid there, the breakdown with the FSA. And so now your blended interest rates probably somewhere more around, you know, the 4% range or so, or even a little bit lower, maybe 3.5. So again, saves them lots of money. Another loan program we have is the Ag Improvements. So that's to finance improvements on the farm for any ag-related purpose, such as livestock buildings, grain handling facilities, machine storage, manure systems. Again, we have net worth of 903, 45%, 400,000. Rates slightly higher on that, 4.25. Livestock expansion is for new hog barns, poultry barns, cattle barns, robotic milkers, things of that nature. A little higher limit on this program. We can net worth can go up to $1,919,000. Same percentage, but we will go to $525,000 on these loans. Slightly higher interest rate at 4.5. Restructure programs to help farmers reorganize their debt and improve cash flow. The higher net worth again, the 1.919, 525 in max loan amount, 4.5 interest rate. Now we're getting into some of the revolving loan programs. A little more detail on this one in that it's the most used one out of our revolving. It's a disaster recovery loan. So this helps farmers affected by recent disasters for farm expenses not covered by insurance. So what it needs to either be a state or federal declared disaster area, or recently we added disaster areas determined by the RFA board. So it can be used to help clean up, replace feedstock, other inputs, or repair buildings. Purchase watering systems during droughts, cover the loss of revenue, also recently added during COVID when there was a contagious disease, but it does cover animal or human. Loan limit on that, again, 45%, maximum of $200,000 from the RFA. We lend this out at 0%. We do not require a payment for the first 2 years to kind of help that farmer get over the hump if lots of things went wrong during a disaster for him here. So no net worth maximum on this, and we'll also be a little more lenient with the collateral. So what kind of disaster loans have we done? Overall, the program has done 91 of them for $6.5 million. We did 6 loans for $860,000 during COVID. We have most recently done 17 loans for $1.6 million during the most recent drought. And over the last few years, we've added multiple hazards to make this program more useful to Minnesota farmers. Livestock equipment helps beginning farmers purchase livestock-related equipment, facilities, improvements. So we have net worth there. That's a little bit of a different one, $484,000. We'll do $100,000 loans, and that interest rate set at 2%. We generally don't change our interest rates on any of our revolving funds, is in that we're not having to pay interest rate on the bonds. So we get to charge whatever we like, and we try to keep it low. Farm opportunity loan, purchase machinery equipment to add value to crop and livestock, do best management practices, reduce and improve management of ag inputs, increase production on farm energy. No max net worth on that. We'll lend up to $100,000, do a group loan to $250,000, also a 2% loan. Value-added ag product program. This product was designed to provide financing for farmers with limited capital who want to buy stock in a cooperative. So haven't done a whole lot of these lately, but we will still do them. 45% again, $40,000 is the current max in that program. We do methane digester loans. So no net worth, $250,000. We do 0% on this loan program as well. So we do have a prepayment penalty, starts at 10%, reduces 2% a year. They can pay additional principal up to 10%. And 10-year max. We can amortize it, though, up to 30 years on any of the loans. Moving on to something a little more recent. So as of this fall, the Department of Agriculture has secured a $15 million grant from USDA to establish a revolving loan program to support small and medium-sized meat and poultry processors. So these will be direct loans, so they're a little bit different than the participation ones we normally do, in that we're going to basically do all the paperwork from start to finish on these. So we'll do loans as little as $50,000 up to $10 million, and currently we're looking at a 3% interest rate we're going to set on that. So the funds can be used to purchase land, equipment, cover startup costs, and make other business improvements, investments. And we are hoping to open this program up late first quarter of this year. We also have the Beginning Farmer Tax Credit. So this is a very popular program with the RFA. So the credit is to the agricultural asset owner. So they get to take a credit against taxes due of 5% if they're doing a sale of ag land to a beginning farmer or asset to a beginning farmer. Maximum of $32,000 per transaction. And if they're renting to a farmer, they can get 10% for up to 3 years in a row, a maximum of $7,000 a year. And if they're doing a sharecrop, they can get 15% up to, also that one also goes for 3 years, up to $10,000 a year. So definitions of agricultural asset is ag land, livestock, facilities, buildings, and machinery. And the owner has to be either an individual, trust, pastor entity, cannot be a C Corp, equipment dealer, or livestock dealer. So requirements for beginning farmer, they must be a resident of Minnesota, has farmed for less than 10 years based on their Schedule F. The land must be in Minnesota. The asset owner that is selling or leasing cannot be a direct family member. So it can't be grandparent, parent, child, grandchildren, brothers and sister. So basically aunt and uncle are further removed is good to go on that. Net worth is the 903 we've seen before. It kind of goes along with our other programs. The beginning farmer has to be doing the majority of the work and labor and enroll in a farm financial management course if they don't already have the requisite experience. So tax year 2018 and initial infusion to the program was $5 million, and then from 2019 through 2023, additional $6 million comes in as available. For 2023, there's somewhere around 24-ish million available, and it is set to sunset at the end of this year. So some statistics on what we've used. I won't necessarily read this. You can just kind of take a look at it. Generally, we're somewhere around, we take more applications. These here are the first 2018, 19, and 20 are what was actually sent in through Department of Revenue. So some people obviously applied but didn't take their tax credit. So we, as you see, we probably sit somewhere around 1,000-ish, 1,100, 900-ish a year. This most recent year, 2022, we looked to have done about 629. Asset owners, about 3.1 million and 300, that equated to 388 beginning farmers, and then that 281,000 we also cover some educational costs for them. So that's where that money went. So beginning farmer gets a tax credit for participating farm financial management program, as I kind of just mentioned before. So it can be 100% of the cost of the program, but not exceed 15%. $100 a year for 3 years. It's also used in conjunction with the FBM scholarship the MDA also administers. So a lot of these farmers get some, what equates to free education for farm management. A program that came out, we just launched here, it came through the last legislative session, was the Down Payment Assistance Grant. So it's a $15,000 matching grant for first-time farm owners. It's to help out emerging farmers. Program came from the Emerging Farmers Working Group. We got $500,000 from the state legislature for the first round, which covers roughly 30 to 35 grants. It is a first-come, first-served at this point, and the application opened January 4th, and the full allotment was applied in under 15 minutes. So it was popular. We have a second and third round of funding for $750,000 each for the next two fiscal years. Another program the Department of Ag administers is the Agricultural Best Management Loan Program. So the MDA manages all the funds and contracts with this. We work with local government units to approve eligible products and figure out the available funding for each county or groups of county. So it's meant for pollution prevention, pollution problems, drinking water solutions, and even potentially odor. The lender evaluates the creditworthiness of the borrower, and the lender and LGU might be the same, might not. And the borrower implements the project and repays the loan. So types of projects we do on this here, we use science and figure the environmental benefits to see how this works. Does it help or prevent, reduce, eliminate water quality problems, drinking water issues, odor? Borrower can be a farmer, farm supply business, rural landowner, water quality cooperative, or any septic project. The loan terms on that will lend out a maximum of $200,000 per person at any given time. 10-year loan, and the maximum 3% interest rate and fees. So kind of the way that works is we lend the money to the either the bank or the LGU to lend to the borrower, and we lend that at 0%. We don't allow them to charge any more than 3%. So that 3% is basically kind of to help them out with doing the administration of the loan. So total number of loans we've done in AgBNP, a little over 18,000 since the program inception. Since this money revolves, we have lent out over $323 million. Our current amount of funds, all things together with money to lend and money that's outstanding, is $86.4 million. Just a little graph on loans by calendar year. As you see, loan program's been pretty popular as of recently. Pretty big bump in 2019 that was due to some of the buffer zone requirements and everybody having to get that buffer zone stuff in on time. So we had lots of loans to do that. Just kind of give you a project activity. So ag waste is about 29% of the projects we fund. Conservation tillage, about 39%. Erosion control, looks like that percentage fell off. I think it was 2%. Septic, 16%. And other random practices, 13%. So I'll give you a little snapshot of the last year. So I won't necessarily read through this, but we did 577 loans for a little over $21 million. Majority of them were erosion control and septic as far as number of loans. But dollar amount wise, it's a little bit higher on the ag waste management, conservation, tillage. Those are tend to be higher ticket type items. So funding available for 23 in that program is a little over almost $28 million. Last year we had applications, or we had counties request $37.5 million for projects that they had ready to fund. So, you know, about $10 million shortfall of available funds as compared to what demand was. And that ends my presentation. I will stand for any questions.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McDevitt. I see Representative Tapke.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. If you go to the down payment, excuse me, the down payment assistance slide, which is number 31 on there, I would just like some more information as to why you think it was so popular that it was utilized within 15 minutes, and what kinds of things need to happen around that. If it's such a popular program, what needs to happen as a next step for things?
Okay. Mr. McDevitt.
Members, it was popular because it's just really a good deal. I mean, basically, as long as you have a transaction of a land purchase over $30,000, you can get $15,000 just kind of for free, if you will. So everyone likes a good deal, and it just was a really good deal. We did a really good job of our outreach as well. So we really got it out to a lot of places, talked to a lot of people, held some training sessions and things like that. So it was also really well known, and we made it pretty clear that, you know, with the limited funding, that it was probably going to go really quickly. So everybody was really kind of on the ball, and I think we're holding up to 100 applications just in case some fall through. But I think we had 100 applications by Thursday morning, and it started on a Tuesday at 9 a.m. So,
Rev. Tapke.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So where did the funds for this come from?
So the legislature, Madam Chair, remember, legislature gave us the $500,000 in the last session.
Oh, got it. So it was general fund money. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Representative Purcell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a couple of follow-up questions on the Ag BMP loans. What year did that start? And then can you give some examples on that 13% in the other category?
Mr. McDevitt.
Sure. So, Chair members, that program started, I believe, in 1997, if I remember correctly. And we've gotten funds from all different sources. So as far as we've gotten some from the state legislature, we've got a ton of funds from the federal government. We get, you know, some various funds from other groups that maybe, you know, Clean Water Fund, or if they're not using some money, we'll get some money that way to administer some of this. So some of the other things might be, you know, we've seen a little more off-farm energy, some people putting up some solar panels and things like that. Let me think, what's some other kind of weird stuff we somewhat do? I can't think of anything super specific at the moment, but it's kind of like anything that didn't fall into those major categories. As long as if they apply and they can show some sort of water quality or energy improvement type thing, even if it's a little bit not straight down the road, a little bit on the side, we can consider funding it.
Representative Purcell?
I'd be interested if you can follow up with me about sort of all the different categories. Thank you.
I'd be happy to do so.
Representative Cha.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In regards to the down payment assistance program, I noticed is it just an online option, or is there also like a physical application option, considering broadband is kind of scarce in communities? And on top of that, how do you determine, you know, the allotment ran out in 15 minutes, so can you tell me more about that qualification process and that decision on who gets the funding or not?
Mr. Sure. McDevitt?
Madam Chair, members. So the program, it was, the qualifications are pretty loose, as it were. The biggest stumbling block, really, for people is to just make sure that either them or their spouse has not previously owned agricultural land. So that's probably the major disqualifier. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, then there is also a maximum that they could have earned through sale of agricultural products in the previous year. So those are two the main qualification things, and that captures quite a few people at this point. So there was just a lot of people that qualified for it. Like I said, we did a pretty good job of the outreach, so they understood, you know, what they needed to fit into, and they didn't even necessarily have to have like contracts already signed to purchase land, because in some cases they might have needed this money in order to sign something or get a deal through. So we didn't want to require that and make it so that would make them ineligible for these funds.
Representative Cha?
Yeah, and then in regards to, this is just online applications, or is there in-person option?
Yeah, sorry about that, Madam Chair. Yes, we have both. There's an online application. There's also a paper form that people could fill out and submit.
Representative Cha?
No further questions. Thank you.
Representative Anderson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. A couple of questions. You mentioned in the young farmer loans that you require the farmers to carry life insurance. Does that mean that the RFA takes a second position behind the bank?
Mr.
Madam Chair, members, we do a shared first position with the bank. We just require that they have life insurance on our portion of the loan. The bank may also require that. That's up to them on their portion.
Representative Anderson?
Thanks. I haven't heard the term shared first position before. How do you divide up a shared first position on an 80-acre piece of land, for example? Let's divide it in half.
Sure.
Mr. McDevitt?
Madam Chair, members, well, that's probably a little bit more of a question for the lawyers, exactly how they do it. But yeah, it's 5%. So, you know, if we had between us and the bank had 100%, we split it in that percentage. So if it were to default, the bank would pay 55% of the remaining balance, or would write off 55% of the remaining balance, and the RFA would write off 45%. In the case of if FSA is involved, they will take a second position behind us and the bank.
Representative Anderson?
Thanks again, Madam Chair. You mentioned, I think, on the disaster loan program, to qualify after a storm, for example, it had to be a declared either governor or presidential disaster. What if it's a case of a tornado, which covers a pretty small area, but it wipes out my farmstead? Would that qualify me, even though it's not a declared disaster area?
Mr. McDevitt?
Madam Chair, members, we did recently, I think it was about 2 years ago, added the RFA board can also declare a disaster. So if it was just your one farm and you were like the only one that got hit by the tornado, probably not. But if there was, you know, maybe 15 or 20 people within a county that were affected by the tornado, the RFA board can meet and do a disaster declaration. For example, one that's being considered is there's been some barn collapses recently due to some of the heavy snowfall, and the next RFA board meeting that a resolution to declare disaster for the barn collapses is on the agenda.
Representative Anderson?
Thanks, and just one more, Madam Chair. Which program it was, talked about it being fairly popular, but yet there's like a 20-some million dollar pot sitting in the bank, and it's due to expire, I believe, it was in 23. There's been discussions about opening that up to a family relative type relationship. Do you, in your opinion, do you think we need to open that up to make it more available to more folks and fully utilize that funding?
Mr. McDevitt?
Madam Chair, members, you know, I try to be a little careful about offering opinions. I mean, if the goal is to use some of or all of the money, opening it up to family members would most certainly achieve that or get it going in that direction. But it's significant because there's so many of the farmers do rent or buy from their direct family members.
Representative Anderson?
Oh, just quick follow-up then. So that needs to be extended if we're going to not let that money go idle. We'll work on that, so thank you.
I think I do have a question, Mr. McDevitt, regarding the local lenders. How many of them participate with the RFA, and where are they usually located, I guess? And then what are the requirements for a local lender to utilize the programs that RFA has?
Madam Chair, members, if I remember correctly, I think there's somewhere around 350 local institutions that the Rural Finance Authority works with. The same would pretty much go with the Ag BMP program. They just need to sign a contract with us. We have a pretty straightforward contract that just talks about what everybody's role is in the transactions, and as long as they sign it, we can work with them.
Any further questions? All right. Well, thank you so much, Mr. McDevitt, for being here, and thank you, Peter. We have our first bill hearing today, and that is House File 103. Representative Ferkel, please go to the testifying table. Would you like to move your bill, Representative Ferkel?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I'd like to move House File 103 to the Capital Investment Committee, I'm assuming, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
That's my motion.
Thank you, Representative Ferkel. Representative Ferkel moves House File 103 to be recommended to be referred to the Capital Investment Committee. Representative Ferkel, please present your bill to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. House File 103 is a bill appropriating the $50 million you just heard about from our previous presentation by Mr. McDevitt for the Rural Finance Authority for the sale and issuance of state bonds. You've heard pretty much everything that needs to be said. RFA is administered by the Minnesota Department of Ag. It's the state's main agricultural lending arm and has legal authority to issue loans but it typically partners with private ag lenders to provide favorable credit terms to eligible farmers. This way they can offer low interest loans to farmers for a wide variety of activities, which you all saw in the presentation we just saw. So I'll skip all of that. I guess we'll just open up for questions if there are any. I don't have testifiers. I figured since we had the presentation, we wouldn't really need to. But we have Farmers Union with their letter. I think Stu is still here to answer questions if we need him, and Mr. McDevitt.
All right. I think we have Peter Chesett, who would like to testify. Please identify yourself before the committee, and you may proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Peter Chesett. I'm one of the assistant commissioners at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. And just briefly, Madam Chair and members, I just wanted to thank you and Representative Ferkel for introducing these bills. The RFA is a critical component of the services we provide at MDA. And as Mr. McDevitt testified, we do foresee running out of money in October, so this is very much appreciated that you're acting so quickly on it. I will say that after the governor is finished announcing his budget next week, we look forward to working even more closely with you all on this. But I can say now for the record that we are generally supportive of these bills and very appreciative. So thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Thank you. And then next we have Matt McDevitt. Would you like to testify before the committee?
Madam Chair, members, Matt McDevitt, Ag Finance Supervisor for the Rural Finance Authority. I think I touched on this a little bit during my presentation, so I'll just answer any questions anybody has as far as how any of this works.
And then we have Stu Laurie from Minnesota Farmers Union.
Thank you, Chair Vang and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Stu Laurie. I'm the Government Relations Director for Minnesota Farmers Union. And as others have said, I think Mr. McDevitt covered it very well. Just wanted to share our strong support for moving this funding and doing so quickly. I might be a little bit presumptive in assuming that you're going to move this out of committee, so I'll maybe speak to conversations you'll have with members about why it's important to move this RFA funding early ahead of a larger bonding bill. There's precedent for that. The legislature did it in 2017 and again in 2020. It's also a different kind of bond than a larger bonding package, and it's hugely important to our members to have that certainty for the RFA, allow them to lock in interest rates, and have some certainty going into the 2023 growing season. So thank you for the opportunity to testify briefly and to share our strong support.
Thank you. And then we have Darren McBeth from the two Farm Credit Associations, Compere and Ag Country Farm Credit Services. Please identify yourself before the committee and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Darren McBeth, representing the farm credit entities, Compeer Financial Services and Ag Country Farm Credit Services. So they are farm credit lenders, in particular Compeer and Ag Country, are probably the largest, not probably, they are the largest partners on many of these programs with RFA, to your question earlier to Mr. McDevitt. And they couldn't be here in person today, but asked me to extend support for recapitalizing the RFA as these two bills and Representative Burkle's bill does. And I just thought I'd add specifically, I didn't get some of the data points from Ag Country, but in Compeer's case, they currently have 299 loans with $37 million in loan volume in partnership with the RFA. And I just want to reiterate, the RFA is a very well done presentation and a survey of all the programs they do. It's kind of a treasure for Minnesota agriculture in the state of Minnesota. Not every state has a managing set of staff and an RFA board that administer these programs and partner with private lenders, and then of course lend directly to farmers for innovative programs in need. So we support, since it hasn't been done since 2020, the new $50 million in bonding for the RFA.
Thank you. And then we have Caitlin Benice from Minnesota Farm Bureau.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Caitlin Bemis, and I'm the public policy specialist at Minnesota Farm Bureau. Farm Bureau is a grassroots organization of nearly 30,000 farm families across the state, and I'm just here today to thank Representative Vang and Representative Burkle for bringing this bill forward and kind of echo some of the comments that you heard from Stu and others and Matt McDevitt during his presentation. This account is really important. A lot of our members use the Rural Finance Authority, and replenishing this account will really help foster the next generation of farmers across the state. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Do we have anyone else who wish to testify? Right. We'll talk the discussion of the bill. I'm not aware of any amendments to House File 103. Is there any further discussion to the bill? Representative Anderson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Burkle and Representative Vang, thanks for bringing the bill forward. You know, RFA has been around for a long time, very valuable here in Minnesota. And it really, I think, rose in stature and prominence back in 2015 when the first bird flu epidemic hit, and we got more money to the RFA to help combat the issues of bird flu. And as I recall, Representative, you were a producer back then. You grew turkeys. And so I would imagine that a program like this would be especially important to you and fellow turkey producers here in Minnesota.
Representative Burkle?
Thank you, Representative Chair Vang. Thank you, Representative Anderson, for that. Yes, in 15, I actually was a grower that experienced bird flu that year, and I'm currently in the middle of an RFA loan myself with my bank in back home and worked with the RFA through the disaster recovery loan. So I'm actually a participant in this program.
Representative Anderson?
No.
Further discussion? All right. Hearing none, Representative Burkle, would you like to renew your motion to recommend House File 103 to be referred to the Capital Investment Committee?
Madam Chair, thank you. I'm happy to bring forward this bill to replenish the Rural Finance Authority Fund, and we'd like to move this bill to House File 103 to Capital Investment Committee.
All right. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. The ayes have it. The motion prevails. House File 103 is recommended to be referred to the Capital Investment Committee. Next we have is House File 463.
So John, there's some treats here, supposed to.
Thank you.
right. Our bill for consideration, House File 463. Representative Vang, would you like to move your bill to get it before the committee?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to move House File 463 to be recommended to be referred to the Capital Investment Committee.
All right, Representative Vang moves House File 463 to be recommended to be referred to the Capital Investment Committee. Representative Vang, please present your bill to the committee.
Thank you, members of the committee. House File 463, if you haven't read the bill yet, is a clone bill, Representative Burkles. This is an additional option for the committee to have more pathways for the bill. And so I don't think I need to repeat the great testimony follow-up with Representative Burkle. And so with that, I would just like to, I can help answer any questions. Move forward with that.
Representative Cha.
Thank you, Chair Purcell. Chair Vang, can you touch base on the importance of these fundings for HAFA and BIPOC farmers in Minnesota?
Representative Vang.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Cha, for your question. The Rural Finance Authority is a popular program for many farmers, especially for beginning farmers or farmers who want to get started in farming, and especially for farmers of color who often have a lot of barriers and to access to land. Having a low-interest loan like the programs like RFA offers gives them an opportunity to be able to utilize and enter into having a much more sustainable farming experience.
Representative Cha?
No further question. Thank you.
Any further questions or discussion? And open it up for any additional testifiers. Hearing none, Representative Vang, would you like to re-renew your motion to recommend House File 463 be re-referred to the Capital Investment Committee?
So moved, Madam Chair.
All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, nay. Okay, the ayes have it, the motion prevails. House File 463 is recommended to be re-referred to the Capital Investment Committee. And I believe that concludes the business that we need to conduct here today. Our next meeting is Tuesday, January 24th, and I get to adjourn the meeting.